Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Basra Tzadik Gimel. We are holding on the second line off the top and right in the midst of a sugya. A machlokes between Rav, who says that Roiv, the majority factor, can dictate and determine even financial matters. It's not only pertaining to Isser Veheter, kashrus of a piece of meat found in the street, which would follow the majority of the meat in that area, right? It's not only regarding that type of situation, does Roiv play a role? Even with respect to Dinei Mamonos, financial matters, Roiv, the majority factor, can dictate the halacha. Whereas Shmuel disagrees, the fellow who has the money currently is in possession of that money, he's the fellow that holds on to that money unless proven otherwise. So Roiv cannot dictate Dinei Mamonos. Toshma, here comes a raya to Shmuel that in fact Roiv will not dictate Dinei Mamonos. We have a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. Shor Shenogach HaSapara. Classic case. A bull attacked and killed a cow. V'nimtzu Ubar B'tzida. So, in addition to the dead cow, we have an Ubar, a calf, you know, offspring on the side. Also, mace, right? Also killed. Now, the question is, what happened? We don't know, you know, the cause of, we can't determine the cause of death. We don't have any witnesses, we don't have any video cameras. So what occurred? Perhaps the calf was born prior to the attack as a stillborn calf, and it's unrelated to the attack or to the attacker or to Reuven, who owns the bull who attacked Shimon's calf, cow, right? So Reuven is not responsible for the Uber. On the other end, maybe actually the animal miscarried as a result of the impact. So Reuven and his bull are responsible for that as well. Ve'enu yidua, it's unknown. Right? If prior to the negicha, the leida took place, meaning the animal was born as a stillborn, in which case it's unrelated because it took place prior to the attack, or perhaps the leida, the birth took place as a result of the impact of the attack. So the attacker is responsible. Now, we're speaking about a sharatam, right? Relatively innocent attacker. He's not known to be an attacker. He's a sharatam. He hasn't done it repeatedly. So as we have learned back in Bava Kamma, you're only obligated to pay 50% of damages. So in terms of paying for the actual mother, pay 50%, a full 50%. But in terms of paying for the dead calf, we split it in half. You only pay 25%. Mishalom chatzi nezek lepar. You pay 50% of the value of the par herself, because he certainly attacked the par and killed her. Or reveal the vlad, but when it comes to the vlad, you only pay a quarter of its value, which is 50% of what you would pay if, in fact, it had been confirmed that the bull attacked and killed it as well. Asks the Gemara, hold it. What happened to Roiv? The majority of cows carry full term and give birth to healthy offspring. Why should we just speculate and assume and suggest that there was a stillborn? No. Chances are it didn't happen that way. Rather, it happened as a result of the impact. And Reuven and his bull are responsible. V'amai, lema, we should say, halech achariv paris. Let's follow the majority of paris. V'arayv paris, and most likely, paris are misabrois v'yodis. They carry full term and give birth to healthy offspring. V'ha, and this over here, a dead calf, certainly was caused by the attack. V'havada machmas negicha yipila. Right? And certainly, the animal miscarried because of the attack. So we see that Roiv does not dictate. Answers the Gemara, no. No. Let's assume you're right. The cow did not just, you know, have a stillborn experience. No, you're right. That's unlikely. It certainly is related to the attack. But, listen to this. There's a catch. Since we're unsure as to the circumstances of the attack itself, perhaps the bull attacked frontally, in which case the cow was just gripped by fear and miscarried, and that although it's unfortunate and happened as a result of the charging bull, would not be sufficient grounds to obligate him to compensate, because it was indirectly caused by the attacker. It wasn't directly through direct impact. It's called a grumma. That's one option. Or, so in that case, he wouldn't be responsible for the offspring, only for the cow itself, which he directly impacted, or he could have attacked from behind, in which case the cow was not aware of the pending attack, in which case it did not miscarry, in which case we assume that the miscarriage occurred directly as a result of the impact. The reason why he's not fully obligated to pay for the offspring is because there is a strong element of uncertainty. We're not sure. The ikel maybe we can say mikama asa. The bull came from the front, and the cow took notice. Umi bi asusa yipila, and it miscarried as a result of the fear that it was gripped with. In which case, the attacking bull is not responsible to pay for that offspring. Ikel maybe you can say ma'achiras. It came from behind. The mingach nachani struck her from behind bipila, and that caused the offspring to die as well. Since we're not sure, we split it 50-50. Have a mamon hamutar b'safek. We have money which is now in a state of uncertainty. V'chal mamon hamutar b'safek. What do? Chalkin, we split it. So perhaps if you would have a solid rive, yeah, rive would dictate. But here it's not so sure. We're not so sure. Says the Gemara Lema Ketanoi, perhaps this question is connected to another machlekes Tanoim. Shoyer shahaya roya. You have a bull, you know, pasturing, walking around. V'nimtza shor horog v'tzidei. And beside that shor, you find a dead bull. Circumstances unknown. We're not sure who attacked him. Aval b'shezem menugach. So although this fellow was attacked, v'zem mud ligach. And we know that this other shor is a known to be violent and attacking animal. Problem is, nobody saw. Or zem menushach. The victim is bitten all over. V'zem mud lishach. And this nearby animal is known to be a biter. We can't just draw conclusions. We don't say biyodua. Now we've confirmed that he attacked him, he bit him. No, you can't say that. Rabbi Acha Omer, he takes exception. He says, you have a camel who is involved in his mating, makes him aggressive, and beside him you find the dead camel. That is pretty much confirmation. We know that he killed him. So basically, according to Rabbi Acha, umdana, assumptions, strong assumptions, are in fact a strong factor in determining dinei mamonos. Tanakama disagrees. You have to have absolute knowledge. So the Gemara figured, the rubu b'chazaka ki adadininu, the majority element, or the chazaka element, such as in this case you have the chazaka, it's pretty much on the same plane, carry the same weight. If one works, so does the other. Okay. Tanakama disregards the chazaka. Rabbi Acha does reckon with the chazaka. Let's assume we could line it up with Rav and Shmuel. Is Rav a determinant factor or not? Lema, perhaps we can say Rav, who says Rav dictates when it comes to dinei mamonos. Damarka Rabbi Acha, he follows Rabbi Acha. The chazaka does the same. Shmuel, who says Rav does not dictate. Damarka Tanakama, who says chazaka doesn't work. Amalach Rav will tell us, I know the Amra filu Tanakama. You know, I can go even with the Tanakama. It's a different case here. Ad kanakamar, tanakama hasam. Perhaps it's only there that tanakama disregards the chazaka factor. Ela d'lo as linabas chazaka, because merely a chazaka, it's an assumption. It's not rave. So he doesn't reckon with it. Aval basar rubas lina. If you have a solid majority factor in your favor, of course you work with it. On the other end, the Shmuel Amalach Shmuel will tell us anod amrei filu Rav Acha. My shita, my position is consistent. Even with Rav Acha. You know why? Ad kan like Rav Acha hasam. It's perhaps only over there Rav Acha says that we can assume this aggressive camel did it. You know why? Elo daz linabas hachazaka dehu gufa mursuk. It's not just a hypothetical, you know, theoretical chazaka based on, you know, nature of the animals and, you know, at large and all that, you know. No, it's a local, specific, personal, so to speak, chazak on this animal. Look, he's jumping around. He must have been the perpetrator. Aval basar ruba, but if it's just a general rave, which the Rashbam calls ruba de lesa kaman, it's not a rave which is present in front of us. It's more like in the books. It's, you know, most likely animals, you know, carry full term. And You know, that's a totally different type of factor. Lo yazlino, that's not enough to dictate and determine when it comes to dini mamonos. Torah Shema, here comes another. Right from our Mishnah. Moicha peres tachaveiro. So he sold him some, you know, food, some grain, without specifying the intent and purpose of that purchase. Vizoram loy tzimchu, and the buyer decided to plant them. Loy tzimchu, and they didn't sprout. Vafilu zera pishtin, even if it's flaxseed, which is typically used for planting. Einu chay bachar yusan, the seller need not refund the buyer. Why? He can say, look, I thought you were taking it for personal consumption. I didn't know you were planting it. Now the Mishnah adds, afilu even zera pishtin. What's the afilu? What's the added point? My afilu zera pishtin. What's that coming to add? Lav. Apparently, afilu zera pishtin, even flaxseed, which is most likely used for planting, most likely meant for farming. Derubel is riazavni, most customers buy it for planting. Afilu hochin, still. Loyazni mas rubel, raiv is not going to obligate the seller to refund him. Okay, there you go. We have a Mishnah that raiv is not going to dictate when it comes to dini mamonos. Answers the Gemara, you write tanoi, actually it's a machlekes tanoim, whether or not raiv is to be reckoned with when it comes to financial matters. Oh, we have a braisa which discusses a similar halacha. The sanya moicha peres tachaveiro, right? V'zor v'leit samchu, gave them the grain and they didn't sprout. Zeroi negina shein echalim. So now, if they're like these vegetable seeds which are inedible, certainly they were meant for planting. So in that case, if they don't work, chay bachriusin has to refund them. But zera pishtim, it's just flaxseed, which some people use for personal use. Einoi chay bachriusin. The Kama says we don't care about raiv as long as some use it for personal consumption, you can't demand a refund. Rabbi Yisir, no, Noisin loy dmei zaroi. The seller has to refund him the value of the zera. Why? Says Rashi, sheroiv, Rashbam, sheroiv pishtan sheboilam nizra. Most of the pishtan out there, most, in terms of quantity, most pishtan is sold for planting, for farming. So that roiv works in the favor of the buyer. Look, it was meant for farming. Why isn't it working? Amrulay, the Chacham responded to him. This is the third cheetah. In terms of quantity, you're right. But in terms of the number of customers, meaning a farmer would buy a huge amount for planting, but there are many more people out there who will buy perhaps smaller quantities for personal use, for you know, for recipes, for medicinal purposes. Amrulay, there are many more people out there that will buy it for personal use, so you can't necessarily determine that it was meant for planting. Okay, so that's the braisa, which was meant to supply a machlekes tanoim, whether we follow Rav. Man tanoi, which two tanoim are you referring to? We have the Tanakama who says we ignore the Rav. Rav Yisrael says we go with the Rav, but we go with the quantity, Rav factor, and the Amaloi also work with Rav, but they work with personal factor, you know, in terms of the number of customers involved. So who are the two tanaim that you were referring to are having a machlokes whether we reckon with Rav or not? Mantanai, ilim Rabbi Yisiv v'Amrloi. Is it between Rabbi Yisiv and Amrloi? No. Conceptually, they both go with Rav. Tarvayi basru ba'azli. Both follow the Rav factor. It's just a question of which Rav. You have two conflicting majority elements here. Mar azl basru ba'inshi. The Amrloi follow the personal Rav, the number of customers. Mar azl basru ba'dizriya. Whereas Rabbi Yisiv works with the majority factor in terms of the quantity sold. So there's no machlekes in concept, in theory, of whether we follow Rav. Both go with Rav. Ella, rather, the machlekes of whether we follow Rav is Itanakam Rabbi Yisi, either between Tanakam who ignores Rav and Rabbi Yisi who does reckon with Rav, Itanakam Amalai, or Tanakam and Amalai, who again are having machlekes regarding Rav. So bottom line is, Rav is certainly a determinant factor when it comes to Isra Behet. What about Dini Mamonos? Rav goes with Rav, Shmuel does not, and we found the machlekes Tanaim likewise. Okay, so this fellow sold them some vegetable seeds, inedible stuff. They didn't sprout. Once successful, he's got to refund them. How much does he have to refund them? How much does he have to pay him? Just, you know, the value of the tomato seeds, $2.99 plus tax. He doesn't have to pay him back for his expenses, you know, his time, his investment, his fertilizer. He doesn't have to pay him for that. That's just a grumma. Some disagree. He has to cover his expenses as well. And the Rashbam says, it's a knas. What are you doing selling him faulty seeds? Man Yesh Oimrim, who's the author of this Yesh Oimrim? Let's put a name to the opinion. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Shimon Gamliel, we found the Shita. Hi, Rav Shimon Gamliel, where do you find that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel discusses this point. Is it from our Mishnah? The Snan, as we learned in the Mishnah, the he sold them grain or whatever, he planted it, didn't sprout. He doesn't have to refund them. Now let's make a diuk. His lack of accountability, his lack of responsibility, that pertains only to material that can have been purchased for personal use. Let's make a diuk. But let's say it was, you know, vegetable seeds, which are totally inedible, and certainly for planting purposes. Even the Tanakam would agree, he has to refund them. There's no way you can get away with that. Amos Sefer. Now let's proceed to the second part of the Mishnah, where we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. He pretty much repeats the same point. You should know, Ziroin, Negina, Shein Nechol, inedible seeds, which are unsuccessful. Chayov, Bachor Yusin, he has to refund them. He's pretty much just repeating what the Tanakhama just finished telling us. Tanakhama Nami Hachikamar. He also said, only Zerapishtan, which has, you know, a personal consumption use to it as well. In that case, he doesn't have to refund because he can claim that it was meant for personal use. But inedible garden seeds, even Tanakam would agree he has to refund them. So there's no machlokes. Why is Rav Shimon Gamliel coming and adding that point, which had been already presented by the Tanakam? So it must be that there is some sort of point of dispute here. Not in terms of refunding the actual value, but perhaps whether he has to cover the added expenses. Mar Savar Tanakama holds his liability is limited to the actual value of the goods. Dmei Zera is the paying for the seeds, and that's it. Umar Savar, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel adds Af Hayitzoi has to pay for the expenses as well. How do you know that he's the one saying that? Umay Dilma, if maybe Tanakama is the one who adds the Hayitzoi, not, how do we know who's saying what? This wouldn't be a kasha, because typically kol tana basra, when you have another tana coming after a previous tana, in a way where we don't see a difference, we assume the second tana is coming to add to the first tana. So we assume that he's trying to cover the expenses as well. Okay, says the Marbat, who says our approach to interpreting the Mishnah is correct? There's one opinion followed by the next opinion, which apparently is coming to add, and we cover the Yitzah. No, V'dilma Kula Rav Shimon Gamliel. Maybe the entire Mishnah was authored and is being presented by one Shita. Rav Shimon Gamliel, V'chisur Remech Zerachitani, the Mishnah, as is very often the case, was written in a very concise form. It's meant to be learned as though it's missing some words. Rachitani, you read it like this. Hamaycheberes l'chavei revel l'zorm l'itzam chui sold in the Paris. He planted them, they didn't sprout. Even if it's flaxseed, he's not responsible. Let's make a diuk. But if it's totally inedible garden seeds, of course he has to repay him. That's his shita. It's all one shita. Because he says that Zerapishtan, only, you know, flaxseed is not responsible. But it's inedible garden seeds, which are totally inedible. There's only one purpose, planting. Chai b'charusin, he has to pay. So it's one shita. There's no two shitas with additions, with, you know, covering expenses. No. One shita. Rav Shimon Gamliel speaking. He says, look, grain, flaxseed, there's no way we can obligate, we can hold the seller accountable. But inedible, you know, vegetable seeds, of course, he's responsible to have them work. But who says he has to cover the expenses? So our search resumes. We're looking for a Rabbi Shimon Gamliel out there in Shas who considers the seller fully liable, not only for the actual expenses, but for additional, you know, liabilities as well. Ella ha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We found it. The Sanya, we have a Braisa. A fellow took a bag of wheat to the grinder, to the mill, to grind it up. And usually, typically, the process involves a soak, and then, you know, the soak loosens up the elements within the wheat, and then they grind it. But also, he failed to soak it. So he botched up the job, but also on soup, and it turned into some sort of poor quality, you know, flour, a mursan full of bran and stuff. So he ruined the goods. Or another example, kemach lanachtan, he took some flour to the baker to prepare for him some baked goods. Va'afay pasni poil, and comes back the next morning to pick up his bread. It's all broken up. He's got matzah meal. Behemel atamach, or he brought his animal to the shaychet. V'niblon, he bashed up the shchita, he made an avela. In all these situations, chayev, the merchant, the professional, the craftsman is chayev. He must pay him up. V'neshu can say sachar, because after all, he was being paid for the job, so he's responsible for a good outcome. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, it's more than that. In addition to paying him for the actual room goods, Noisen Loit Mei Boish Tev Mei Boish Es Orchav. This fellow had a whole wedding planned for tonight, a whole banquet plan. Now he's fully embarrassed. You have to pay him for his emotional damages, for his shame and his embarrassment. He has nothing to feed his guests. So this is a special knas. And apparently we see that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not just compensating for the raw material. You have to pay him for the losses and the extra, So here as well, now Gemara, not only is he paying him for the seeds that botched up, but also for the expenses that he incurred. V'chein hoya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, likewise, he said there was a minhag gadol in Yerushalayim. This is based on a big minhag, a great custom. So you hired a caterer, to prepare your banquet. The kilkula and the fellow messed up. Not only does he have to pay him for the actual losses, but he has to pay him for his emotional pain as well. And we finish with another minhag, which is unrelated, but it happened to be a minhag, so we add it here as well. Another great minhag. Ma'apa prusal gabe pesach. So let's say you have some sort of reception, and the guests are meant to come from 8 to 10, so as long as the curtain or whatever is sitting over the doorway, the green light's open, the oilon comes in. Kol zman shamapa prusa, as long as the thing is still hanging, oruch nechnasin, the guests are welcome. Nistal kamapa, once they see that the curtain's gone, in oruch nechnasin, they know it's cleanup time, and show is over. So it was a very good way to, keep your simcha organized. Okay, let's again go back to the beginning. Sugi b'ed ha-machlekes Rabbi Shmuel regarding following Roiv and Dini Mamonis, which turned out to be a machlekes Tanaim as well. We had several brises and mishnas discussed along the way. In some situations, all agree that a seller of seeds would have to compensate his buyer. For instance, if there are zirei negina she'en and echol and edible, vegetable garden seeds. The question just is he paying him just for the actual seeds, $2.99 plus tax, or according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he pays for the etzah as well, as we find in the other halachas of the caterer and all that they are liable for the added damages as well, because it's a knas applied by the chachamim to ensure integrity in the marketplace. All the best to you, and hatzlacha rabbah.